The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
In the last couple of weeks, a couple of people from this group have asked me about metta. So I thought I would talk today a little bit about the metta practice. Normally here at this center, we emphasize primarily the mindfulness practice. And we also do teach this loving kindness practice, metta. Metta being the word, the Pali word for loving kindness. And it's a very different practice in a way, because with the mindfulness practice, we are really opening to just what is happening in the moment, learning how to just be aware of whatever is arising in the moment. With the metta practice, we are consciously inclining the mind towards the quality of loving kindness. In the mindfulness practice, we try to let go of thoughts, let go of thinking as it arises. With the metta practice, we use thought to direct our minds towards this quality of loving kindness. So they're different styles of practice. But they can be integrated together, and some people find the metta practice to be a lovely support for the mindfulness. Both qualities, mindfulness and kindness, they support each other. That as we bring our mindful attention to our experience, we begin to touch into a quality of kindness that comes along with the mindfulness. One teacher says that the act of meditation is the continual act of befriending oneself, and that incorporates or includes the quality of kindness as we pay attention. So the cultivation of mindfulness, the mindfulness practice itself, can draw out this quality of metta. We begin to sense a kind of tenderness or openness to our experience that reflects this quality of kindness. And we can cultivate the quality of kindness more directly through the metta practice. And so that's what I like to talk about a little bit today, and I'm hoping that what I can do is give this description in about the next half hour or so, or 25 minutes. Give a description of the practice, a little bit of the practice, and then do about a 15-minute guided meditation so that you get a sense of the practice, and then have some time for discussion about anything that you've noticed or any questions that you have about the practice. And my thinking is that it might be a good practice to spend a couple of weeks with so that we get a flavor of this quality and learn how to expand out to more and more beings as we cultivate this quality of kindness. So the basic metta practice is a practice of intention. We incline the mind towards feeling kindness through using phrases that express kindness. So we use phrases or thoughts in our mind to express the sense of caring. And we direct this caring towards ourselves and towards other individuals, and then moving out towards groups of individuals and ultimately towards all beings in all directions. So today, I think I'll focus on exploring this quality or the practice of metta for oneself and one other person. So you get a sense of how the practice works, just the mechanics of it and what it means to direct metta towards oneself and towards another person. And over the next week or two, perhaps expanding it so that we explore what it means to direct it out to other people and other beings. The tradition of this metta practice holds that it is easiest to direct this quality of kindness towards oneself. That it's a very natural occurring wish in us for ourselves to be happy. And it is true, actually, that we all have a very deep, deep wish for happiness. And yet in our own culture, this wish for our own happiness is often hard to access. So the practice of metta is intended to begin where it's easiest, which traditionally is towards ourselves. For some of us, this is not the easiest place to begin. And so what I will offer today, we'll actually start through directing it to ourselves as we engage in the practice. But I'm going to offer two practices around the metta, one towards ourselves and one towards what is usually called a benefactor. Someone in your life or someone you know of who you feel has benefited you in some way. It may be somebody you know, it may be somebody you're inspired by. So it might be a teacher that you resonate with, it might be a grandchild, or it might be somebody whose books you've read, who you've never met the person. I know people who use the Dalai Lama because he has such a beautiful quality of inspiration, and many people feel they have benefited from him. So that's what I mean by connecting with somebody who you don't really know. You may sense a connection in some way, even though you don't actually know the person. So in exploring the metta practice, we'll start today directing it towards ourselves, and then we will direct it towards this other person, this other specific person. So taking a few minutes for yourself to think about who that might be before we go into the practice. As you explore this practice in your own life, often people find the benefactor the easier place to begin. So in your own practice, looking at your own relationship to this quality of kindness and whether you can direct it to yourself easily, whether it feels natural and easy to direct it to yourself, or whether it feels more natural and easier to direct it to someone else. So as I said, we'll begin with ourselves. And the practice of metta usually begins with a reflection on qualities or aspects of the person that you're contemplating. Qualities or aspects of the person that you admire or feel that are beautiful qualities. It is said that the quality of metta, that the proximate cause for the quality of metta to arise in our hearts is to see the beautiful, to see the good. And so we begin our practice by reflecting on beautiful qualities of ourselves, things that we like about ourselves, things that we feel that we've done that are kind. So that's where we begin. We begin by reflecting on those kinds of qualities. And as we begin to engage in the practice itself, the practice itself is it's kind of mechanical in a way. We begin by using phrases that express various aspects of the quality of kindness. Traditional phrases are, may I be happy, may I be healthy, may I be safe, and may I live with ease. These are essentially four different ways of essentially wishing well for ourselves or for another being. Now you can, as you play with this practice in your own lives, if this practice resonates for you, you can get creative with these phrases. You do not have to stick with these phrases that I'm going to use today. These are phrases that for myself have worked, and the simplicity of them seems to just work for me. But other people, I know a lot of people who find that shifting the phrases really helps them to evoke that feeling of metta. So you might spend some time thinking about what phrases evoke that for you, evoke this feeling of kindness. The feeling of kindness is really about connection, about openness, of just being able to be present. An aspect of these phrases that's very important is that these are requests or they're not what we would call an affirmation. This practice is not about affirmations. So it's not about saying to myself, I am happy, I am healthy, I am safe, I am at ease. It's about making the request. May I be happy? That's an important part of this practice, this aspect of the request, or the opening to the possibility. The request aspect of the phrase is what reflects an intention. Reflects an intention, the wish, essentially. It reflects a wish for your own happiness or for the happiness of others. It's not a demand for the happiness. And we're really trying to connect with the wish here. That's the practice, is to connect with the wish for happiness for oneself or another. When we can connect with that wish, may I be happy, may you be happy, that wish itself is an expression of that quality of openness and connectedness. It's an expression of this quality of kindness. Wishing for someone to be happy is the most basic form of wishing them well, of wishing kindness. So it's really about the wish. The practice is about connecting with this wish for yourself to be happy and for others to be happy. It's not so much about trying to generate a result. It's more about connecting with actually the meaning of the wish. So for myself, I heard some instructions about this practice that really opened the practice up for me, and I will offer those to you. as we engage in this practice, with each wish, with each of the wishes, the idea is to bring to mind the person that you're expressing the wish towards. So that will start with ourselves. It will be ourselves to begin with. So bringing to mind ourselves in some way, whatever way works for you, and this is another area of the creativity of the metta practice, that you can use an image of yourself, perhaps, a mental image of yourself. And if you're using a mental image, it can help to reflect on or see if you can bring up an image of a time when you felt happy. So some place where you find yourself feeling happy, perhaps in your home, or perhaps walking your dog, or perhaps taking a walk in nature, or talking with friends, some place where you feel happy, so that as you connect with the image of yourself, there's a sense of the happiness there. Sometimes I don't tend to be a visual person, so it's kind of hard for me to hold and sustain an image in my mind. So for me, directing the metta to myself, the way that works for me is to just feel myself here and now, to just sense myself being here. Just kind of, you know, the kind of energetic sense of my body sitting here and feeling that I'm directing the wishes, the well wishes to that energetic being that's sitting here. So there's the bringing to mind of the person. And for a benefactor, when we move on to another person, again, you can use an image of the person if that works. For me, what works is just kind of calling to mind the other person in some way and feeling like I'm sitting in the room with them. It's really a feeling that I have of being with a person. There's a distinct feeling that's different for each person. And so when I bring that person to mind, it's just like I feel like my eyes are closed and the person is sitting in front of me and there's a feeling around it. And so for me, that's the way to connect with the other person. And I find it helpful to use the name of that person. If you don't know the person or don't, like if you're using the Dalai Lama, you might just use the name or perhaps invoke something about that person that you feel a resonance with. So there's the bringing the person to mind, however that works for you. And then we start saying the phrases. We express the wish. May I be happy. Now, another key about this practice is that this is not a mantra practice. It's not just about repeating words. You can get concentrated if you repeat, the sky is blue, 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 over and over and over again in your mind. And it will calm you down. It will make you become peaceful. But this practice isn't about simply repeating, may I be happy, may I be happy, may I be happy, may I be happy. And just, you know, losing a sense of the phrase itself. It's really about connecting to the meaning of the phrase. So saying the phrase in your mind and understanding its meaning. And this can simply be very simple. It can be just understanding the dictionary definition of the words. May I be happy. Just knowing what you're saying while you're saying it. It's not that the words get lost into a repeated sense of tone and texture. There's the sense of the words. You understand the words. So there's the saying of the phrase, the understanding of the meaning of the phrase. And then the key piece for me that really opened up this practice for me is at the end of each phrase, checking in. So you're expressing this wish in your heart and then checking in and seeing what happened to your experience as a result of making that wish. often putting the attention in the area of the heart, and actually when we do this practice, we kind of leave our attention in the area of the heart, kind of try to feel like we're expressing the wish from the heart. And settling back after each wish and seeing, has there been any resonance or any rippling or any vibrations in the heart as a response to making that wish? Now, the responses, it may be very subtle and you may not feel much. And that's fine. You just kind of open yourself to the possibility. It's kind of like ringing a doorbell. You ring this doorbell of this phrase and this wish, and then you kind of just sit back and give yourself an opportunity to see what answers the door. There doesn't have to be anything particular that happens. But just give yourself a moment or two to see what has happened as a result of expressing that wish. You may feel a sense of contraction or tightening down. This is not a problem if this happens. Just noticing what happens to you as you make this wish. The contraction and tightening down around making that wish is something that at least I found for myself one of those reactions, because I found it so hard to wish myself metta. I found it so hard to wish kindness to myself. One of my teachers, one of my metta teachers, has said that this practice of metta, this practice of directing kindness to ourselves and to other beings, functions kind of like you're running a metta magnet over your heart. And the function of a magnet, that the magnet is metta, the magnet pulls out everything that's not metta. It brings it into consciousness. And so part of the practice of metta is feeling the tightness and tension and contraction that results from making that wish. It's like it brings that into consciousness. So it's not a problem if that happens. Just notice that, notice what's happened and see if you can go on with the practice. You also might notice, rather than a tightening and a contraction, you might notice a subtle kind of releasing, just a little bit of relaxing into, a little bit of sense of opening. Just the tiniest little opening that happens as you make that wish. That may be the beginning of a little bit of the feeling of metta, which can result as we do this practice. For me, what has happened as I make this practice of metta a kind of a more embodied experience, to check in and say, what has happened in my bodily experience as a result of making that wish? I've noticed both sides of it. I've noticed the tension, the tightness, the contraction, and I've noticed at times the opening, the feeling of the heart opening a little bit. And at times I've noticed that if I meet that space of that opening a little bit, may I be happy feeling that opening. May I be healthy feeling that opening. May I be safe and feeling that opening. It's almost as if every phrase, it's like that first little tiny little opening feeling is the ember of metta, the ember of that kind feeling. And saying each phrase is almost like a gentle breath blowing on that ember to give it more life. So either one of those might happen, neither might happen. You may simply have the sense of just saying the phrase and understanding the meaning for a very long time. I think it's Sharon Salzberg that reported that when she did her first week-long metta retreat, she felt like she was just talking to herself all week long, you know, and she just didn't have any sense of a feeling of kindness that had arisen for her during that week. And so she felt like, well, this practice doesn't work. This one doesn't work for me. And then I think at the end of the retreat, something happened where I think she dropped something or broke a vase. And her first response was, oh, you're so clumsy. And then immediately there was this sense, but I love you anyway. And she said that got her attention. That was a very different response for her. So there's a way in which this practice can work kind of underneath without our really feeling it working. So it's a useful practice to engage in over a period of time, to just keep playing with it and keep trying it. Now, I myself found this to be an extremely difficult practice early on in my practice. I would start saying these phrases and I'd feel these contractions and feel the tension. And if I did a day long, you know, I remember this particularly around a day long retreat. By the middle of the day, it was so painful. My body was in such pain that I couldn't even remember the phrases anymore. There's a couple of ways you can go when that kind of thing happens. I told the teacher this is what was happening. And he said, well, if that happens, the first thing you can try is to switch to compassion practice, which is there's a compassion practice that is similar to this loving kindness practice, only it's about connecting with suffering. And so I was in a state of suffering. It was very hard to feel anything about being happy. It was hard to remember all those phrases. The compassion practice is much simpler. It's one phrase, and that phrase is, may you be free from your suffering. That one I could connect with. So I could sit there and I'd say, may I be free from this suffering? May I be free from this suffering? So I could do that. So that's one movement that you can make if it gets really challenging and you just feel like every phrase just tightens and contracts down the heart so much that you can't do the practice anymore. Another option at that point is to switch to our mindfulness practice, to move to the awareness of what has arisen based on working with this kindness practice. So feeling the sensations, just being accepting of the bodily experience that has arisen as a result of doing the practice. Whatever happens for you, it's not a mistake. It's just how this practice is impacting you and learning skillful ways to respond to how it's impacting you. So let's try it for a little while. We'll do this as a guided meditation. So start by breathing into your heart center, connecting with whatever you feel in the area of your heart. There's no right or wrong there. Just whatever you notice. Just taking a few breaths, almost as if you're breathing in and out of your body right through your heart. I sometimes find thinking of that breath through the heart, I can incline the heart to relax just a little bit. And staying connected as much as possible to the area of the heart. I'm going to ask you to think about some things, but just staying connected to that experience of your heart. Reflect on qualities that you like about yourself. Relax into this reflection. And if you're having some difficulty with this, I'll give you a quality that you all share, which is this wish to engage with the practice. Very beautiful quality. Very rare in this world, this wish to open our hearts, connect, let go. And spend a few minutes reflecting on something kind that you've done. This doesn't have to be a major thing. It might be as simple as letting someone have an easy merge on the freeway, or letting somebody who only has one item go ahead of you in the grocery store, or holding a door open for somebody. And coming back to the experience in the heart, begin expressing the wish for kindness to yourself. May I be happy. Connecting to the sense of yourself, the meaning of the phrase, and then coming back to the heart and noticing, or giving yourself the opportunity to notice if there's been any shift in the experience as a result of saying the phrase. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I live with ease. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I live with ease. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I be safe. May I live with ease. Continuing yourself in your own minds to silently repeat the phrases, understand their meaning, connecting to a sense of yourself, And then seeing how each phrase, as if each phrase has been gently dropped into the pool of your heart, what are the ripples from that wish? If the mind wanders, just come back to gently repeating the phrases, seeing if you can relax the body and mind. I sometimes find it helpful to imagine as though I were thinking the thoughts from my heart, which feels like it helps to drop me out of my head into my body. And now bringing to mind the person you have chosen as a benefactor, either envisioning them or saying their name or feeling a sense of their presence, whatever evokes them to you, allow your reflection to take in the qualities that you admire, respect, or love about that person. Again, noticing the impact of this reflection on your heart. And begin expressing the phrases of kindness directed to this person. You can use their name if you wish. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. With each phrase, connecting to the sense of the person, understanding the meaning, and coming back to the heart and seeing how the heart is responding to that wish. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. Sometimes people find it helpful to imagine the person in situations reflective of each of the qualities. Imagining the person happy, smiling, or laughing. Imagining the person in health, hiking, or taking a walk. Imagining the person in a place of safety. And imagining the person engaged in their life in an easeful way. Sometimes that can help evoke the meaning of the phrase a little more clearly. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. Continuing for a couple of minutes, saying the phrases in your own mind, connecting with the person, understanding the meaning, and feeling the resonance, whatever response has happened as a result of saying the phrase in your body. Now I'd like to suggest that you envision your benefactor saying the words of kindness to you, turning it around so that the words of kindness are coming from him or her, saying to you, may you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you live with ease. So I'd like to hear a little bit from you about how that was and see if there's any questions. And we'll use the microphones for this. So people who are using the hearing-assisted devices can hear. That's the way they'll be able to hear the conversation. And also so that the people who are hearing this on the internet can hear the questions and comments. So anybody willing to talk about what they experienced, or are there any questions or comments?
Metta was difficult for me in the past. Today, I felt it was helpful to check in after the phrase, and I also resonated a lot more with the may I be free from suffering phrase.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So that was very helpful. And I felt a lot of compassion toward myself. In the end, I just repeated, like, compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
That helped a lot. I felt a lot of pressure in my heart, but also when I checked in, also a lot of, like, movement, a lot of maybe an opening a little bit. So that was really good.
Thank you. One comment I didn't say before, that you're repeating the compassion phrase I mentioned, may I be free from this suffering, reminded me of, is that the phrases I offered you are kind of translations of some traditional Pali phrases. But there's a key crucial difference between the way these phrases are said in Pali and in the way that I offered them to you. And the way I offered them to you is very much the way my teachers taught me. But in the Pali, the language of the Buddha, these phrases are, I think about half of the phrases are expressed in the negative, meaning may I be free from danger, may I be free from mental distress, may I be free from physical distress. And for a while in the early part of my practice, I found it much easier to wish the absence of suffering than I felt it to wish the active feeling of happiness. So that's another way you can play with these phrases, is to see if turning them into the absence of something. You know, may I be free from danger? May I be free from distress? May I be free from anger? Things that may resonate. So that's another option with the phrases, is to turn them into the absence of something that we're struggling with. Let's see if there's anything else. And I actually found that to be very helpful, particularly as this practice unfolds over the... as we move to more and more beings in this practice, we pick individuals who fall into various categories in our experience. So the benefactor is one category of person, and we pick a specific individual who's in that category. And then we move from the benefactor to a dear friend, so somebody who is a dear friend for us. Then we move to a neutral person, somebody we don't know very well. And then we move to a difficult person, somebody who we have some kind of conflict with. So that as we engage in this practice, we successively try to open our hearts to what are considered to be more and more challenging situations. The benefactors, the self and benefactor are usually seen to be fairly easy places to engage with the practice. The benefactor is often suggested that the benefactor be somebody that there's not a lot of personal engagement with. So moving to the dear friend, we move to somebody that there's personal engagement with, and often what happens as we move to the dear friend is that we start to think about, as we're wishing them well, all the ways in which there's tension in the relationship, or, well, you know, what about that thing they did, you know? So there's a little more place for the rub as we move to dear friend. And then moving to the difficult person, it's even more challenging. And I personally found that the negative phrasing, it was much easier for me to wish a difficult person to be free from their suffering than it was for me to wish for them to be happy. So I offer that also as another way to play with these phrases. Thank you, Min. Yeah.
Could you give us an example of how do you wish for example, person difficult person you wish to be them person to be instead of happy, what would you say?
Well, you might say, may you be free from distress, may you be free from anger, may you be free from illness, may you be free from danger. That kind of thing. We'll go into that more in the coming weeks about how to work with a difficult person. Yeah, Dana.
I noticed that... can you hear me okay?
Yes, I think it's on... Can you hear? No? Okay, a little. Maybe hold it a little closer.
A little closer.
There
okay.
You go.
Okay. So what I noticed was that when I offered the sayings to the benefactor, there was compassion. But when I offered them to myself, there was permission.
Mm.
I noticed that as a woman, not an African-American woman, but as a woman in our culture, we often juggle many balls, many roles, while walking a tightrope and not given much permission to drop any of them or to fall off the tightrope. So as I was talking to myself, I felt myself giving permission to be happy, to be a little selfish and take this time to be here by myself, to be healthy, not to think of the Barbie doll figure. I'm going to the gym after this, so not to think of the Barbie doll figure and the crackers for breakfast kind of thing, but to eat healthy and to whatever that means to me and how my body feels.
Yes.
To be safe. May I be safe? Safe to speak my mind instead of suppressing my feelings or my thoughts just to keep the peace with relationships, marriage, friendships, things like that. Excuse me. Things like that. And may I live with ease. Letting go of all the roles that are imposed on me.
Yes.
And having the permission to be who I truly am instead of who other people want me to be.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And it's that permission is, in a sense, touching into that wish for happiness. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
I'm struck by the physiological sensations, because I've had a heart problem in the past, and the problem was that my heart beat irregularly, and so part of the physiological thing that a person does to control that is to hold the breath, to put backwards pressure on the heart. And so as I was doing this, the problem's been since surgically corrected, but I still have a lot of the responses to the prompts of the heart and feeling what the heart is saying, and breathing through the heart. And so I found myself saying the phrases, saying the words with the heartbeat, and feeling the tightness in that area. And so I just wondered if, and also in my experience, there's been a lot of judgment about the condition of my heart, both religious judgment and physical judgment. So I wonder how that might affect the metta practice.
I don't know. I haven't worked or talked with people who have had a heart condition who've worked with the metta practice. It sounds like, since it's surgically corrected, that you don't need to be fearful of it. It does sound like a lot of it has to do with kind of habitual responses to your heart. Maybe some fear coming up and responses to how things feel and responding to those with perhaps holding your breath for a moment or tightening around it. So you can use it. I believe you can use this attention to the heart to just see if you can soften around those kind of habitual tendencies and see if you can just open to whatever is there, which may include some of the tightening or holding or tension. So it may be a way in for you, in fact, to begin to release some of the habits around the heart, to be paying attention to the heart and how it's responding. But you'll just have to explore that and see what happens for you. I'm curious about... Oh, we don't really have time for my curiosity. It's 11 o'clock. So I hope this was helpful, and I'd like to continue this next week, a little bit more of an exploration of this practice next week. So may you be happy.